Let us begin our worship this evening by singing hymn number 833 to the tune St. George 59. Thy mercy, Lord, we praise, of judgment too we sing, for all the riches of thy grace our grateful tribute bring. Thy mercies bid us trust, thy judgments strike with awe. We fear thee last, we bless thee first, and love thy righteous law. Thy goodness, how immense to those that fear thy name. Thy love surpasses thought or sense, and always is the same. Hymn number 833.
Trace for thy word.
wisdom know no bounds.
Let us read together from the Word of God from two portions of Scripture. First, the Book of Psalms, number 31. Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defence to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit, that thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy, but thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth me because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbours. And a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord. For I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath shown me his marvellous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now please turn to the Gospel according to John and chapter 19. The Gospel according to John and chapter 19, we read a few verses commencing at verse 23 to verse 30. John 19, verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Here then we leave the reading of God's word. He bless it to us and help us now in prayer. Kind and ever merciful and gracious Lord God, it is indeed thy kindness and mercy and goodness that enables us, a little company of poor sinners, to come and gather together in thy house the evening of this day. Lord, thou hast spared our unworthy lives. So, Lord, we desire to come with true thanksgiving in our hearts to thee for thy many mercies unto us. Not, Lord, because we're worthy and yet that we deserve. Lord, it's all of thy free kindness, mercy and goodness. Why, one said, for mercies countless as the sands which daily I receive. And, dear Lord, we do indeed daily receive of thy mercies. And we desire to humbly acknowledge thy kindness and mercy and thy goodness to us. Lord, we think, dear Lord, of the time and season of which we're at now, at this autumn time and the time of thanksgiving to thee for the ingathering of the precious crops of the earth and the fruits of the trees and the vegetables from the ground. Lord, we do thank thee, Lord, for all thy kindness and mercy to us. And dear Lord, we pray thou help us to truly be thankful to thee for all the things of providence. Ah, Lord, but we do pray also, Lord, that each of us, if not already, ere long any of us, Lord, should close our eyes in death, that we shall thank thee for thy goodness to us in grace. for thy loving kindness, for thy tender mercies. Ah, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, who retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. And we do pray, Lord, that each one, Lord, may indeed know with sweet, gracious, blessed assurance that their names are found recorded in some humble place beneath the Lord, the Lamb. And dear Lord, we do not forget and would not forget the little ones, the young ones, the children here tonight. Lord, they too with us, they've got a never-dying soul. They too with us, Lord, one day will have to exchange time for eternity. Lord, we know not. Thou knowest with thou hast seen fit, Lord, to implant thy holy fear in their hearts. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt do this for thine own great name's sake, so that they will be found as vessels of mercy. And pray, dear Lord, that they may be raised up of thee, to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Lord, that they may have that good thing in their heart to the Lord God of Israel, that their souls may be on the stretch to find Christ and to know him. Why, one says, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Knowledge of all terrestrial things near to my soul, true pleasure brings no peace, but in the Son of God no joy but through his pardoning blood. Oh, dear Lord, may these dear children have, Lord, that in their heart, to have been enabled, Lord, to say, my Jesus, my Lord, my God. Lord, do bless them. Oh, preserve them and keep them, Lord, from the many evils that abound in this our day. Lord, we often wonder, Lord, what our own children, grandchildren, which is the same as these children here, Lord, what they will live to see. But oh, that they may have that holy fear of God in their heart. They may have that blessed work of thy Holy Spirit, that their souls may be on the stretch to find Christ and to know him. Ah, we weren't so very old when that hymn was so blessed to our soul. Oh, gracious Lord, incline thine ear, and my request vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry, and give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, and dear Lord, may this be the sum and substance, dear Lord, of the prayers, petitions of these dear children, we pray. Then, Lord, do help us now here this evening hour. Lord, we do pray thy blessing. Lord, we pray thou indeed pardon and forgive our every sin, all our iniquity. Lord, we are such wretched sinners. Lord, we have such large catalogues of sin, if one may speak for others. Lord, we pray thou wilt pardon and forgive all. Oh, wash all away in that precious fountain of thine own heart's blood, Lord Jesus. Oh, how thankful we are to read that in that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and uncleanness, the house of David, and evidence of Jerusalem. Oh, that we may know, Lord, that we are the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We may know, Lord, that cleansing fountain. Oh, one says, plunge us in that crimson fountain, thy atonement made for sin. Hear then our prayer, Lord, and do grant that true godly sorrow and repentance over sin, that repentance that needs not to be repented of. Oh, a broken heart, a contrite spirit, a heart that trembles at thy word. Oh, we do tremble at thy word. Oh, we pray that thou hear our prayer. And pray, Lord, that thou would speak peace and pardon to our heart and soul. As thou didst that dear woman that washed thy feet with tears and wiped with the hairs of her head, to the poor man that was let down through the tiling, thy sins are forgiven thee. O gracious Lord, may these blessings be poured out upon us here, even this evening hour, Lord, so that thy name is exalted and praised. Then do hear our prayer. Remember then, dear Lord, this church and congregation, and do bless them together, and do bind them together in love and unity in the bond of peace. Do make thy goodness pass before them. Do lovingly commit and commend to thee, the dear friend, the dear pastor here. We pray for him, Lord, as seen fit, Lord, to lay affliction upon him. And we do pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt bless him, and oh, Lord, that he may be brought out of it, Lord, to thine honour, glory, and praise. And Lord, we do pray thou help him, Lord, as we know, Lord, full well that from time to time, Lord, he is in severe pain. We pray that that may not be so even this evening hour. Lord, do keep it from him. And we do pray, Lord, that thou would give him all needed wisdom as to what he should do, how much he should undertake, go before him, Lord, in all and every untrodden step. Oh, we think of the word of the hymn, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty, hold me with thy powerful hand. No doubt, Lord, he needs thee and feels to need thee to guide and direct him in the way and the path of life. Then, Lord, do be gracious and do be near. Pray, Lord, that thou art then help us now. We do pray for each and every one. Lord, here we think of the dear pastor and his wife. We particularly think of Ben. We do pray for him, Lord, thou wilt bless him. And be near. Lord, thou knowest, Lord, that we do not understand him. It's difficult, thou knowest, Lord, but thou knowest all about him. Lord, we lovingly commend to thee. There is nothing too hard for thee. Lord, do then be gracious and be near, we pray. Lord, and do help our friends, Lord, as they continue with this heavy burden. And Lord, and there are others here and there, Lord, that we know of and think of, Lord, in sometimes in light cases, Lord, where they have a dear child that is so severely afflicted, we do pray that thou art be very near. Lord, do graciously help and send all that help from above. We do pray that remember thy people. We think of those, Lord, that stood around a grave today. Our friend Ken Buss, Lord, and his family. Remember them, comfort their heart at this time and support them and be near. And oh, may they not mourn as those that mourn without hope. And then, Lord, there's others in affliction's path. We pray for them. Graciously help them and be near them. Lord, and do put thy healing hand where they've been in hospital, undergone some surgery, pray that it may be blessed. Lord, do help others. We think of others, Lord, also that will be standing round a grave shortly. Do remember them. Do bless them. Do be near. Do be gracious, we pray. Blessedly help, we ask. And Lord, we do pray thou wilt remember us then. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt remember our nation, appear for us. govern those that govern us. Lord, deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men. Lord, we do pray for our Prime Minister. Lord, she's been greatly humbled. We do pray that this may be greatly sanctified, so that, Lord, she may be like Abraham Lincoln, the American president, who said that he was forced to his knees because there was nowhere else to go. Lord, do graciously appear for our Prime Minister and direct her, Lord, and draw her this way to thy mercy seat. Lord, do graciously help. We ask thee, Lord, to bring peace in this troubled world. We think, Lord, of those also that are persecuted. Lord, remember them. Remember the persecutors also. Do then appear. Lord, in our nation, Lord, why there are those. Lord, we read recently in the Christian press, Lord, of those councils that no longer read the Word of God and yet read any prayers or say any prayers, but they do read the Quran and they do pray to Allah. Gracious Lord, appear for us. Oh Lord, and may not these things be allowed to escalate. Lord, we think, Lord, it goes on, Lord, why our Parliament still has reading and prayer. Oh, may it be so, Lord. May we not fall down, Lord, to this idolatry. Mercifully appear for us, we pray, and arise for our help. Oh, and may we pray in sincerity and truth, Lord, for the overturning of these evils that abound in this our day. Gracious Lord, who arise for our help. Then, Lord, do help us. Lord, there's many things that we should pray for. We seem to come so far short in our prayers. Lord, if there's one that needed thee in some special way, do appear to that one. Do graciously help that one. But Lord, we do pray now that thou wilt accept our thanks and pardon our sin. And come now, Lord, and fulfill thy gracious word, thy blessed promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come, open one's mouth. Touch my lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. We plead the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 176 to the tune Farningham 141. Now, dearest Lord, to praise thy name, let all our powers agree. Worthy art thou of endless fame, our springs are all in thee. To whom, dear Jesus, to whom shall needy sinners flee? But to thyself, who bidst us come, our springs are all in thee. Hymn number 176.
Let all our prayers.
in dependence upon thee, Lord, for all needed help. We ask your very prayerful attention to Psalm number 31 and verse 19. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. In this psalm, in verse 2, the psalmist says, for an house of defence. Verse 8, he says, thou hast set my feet in a large room. And in verse 20, he speaks about a secret inner pavilion from the strife of tongues. To enter into a house, to enter into a room, to enter into a pavilion, we have to go through a door. And you generally find there's a handle, a lock, somewhere about the centre of the door, either on the left or the right hand side. And here in this psalm, or rather here in this verse that we've read by way of a text, there's the key, the lock to this text for them that fear thee. We shall not be found in we shall not be found anywhere in this text unless we're found here with the fear of God. Ah, the fear of the Lord, yes, will prosper our ways. It is the beginning of wisdom and grace. There are many blessings attached to those that have and possess the fear of God. And let us be very clear, without the fear of God, you and I are not ever going to get to heaven. We must have the fear of God. Just as Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And ye must be born again. And if you and I are favoured and blessed of God to be born again, we shall have the fear of God. Yes, one or two things. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but why, you see, Malachi tells us, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him, them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Yes, they spake often one to another. And as you read there in the Gospel according to Luke, those two on that road to Emmaus, they feared the Lord, and indeed they spake one to another. And the subject matter was and is still Christ. It's this blessed, glorious Jesus. There's one that came to seek and to save that which was lost. why there are those in the Word of God, why how they walk together. I just think of dear Abraham and his son Isaac. If ever two men feared the Lord, they did. Yes, and why, you see, they went up, didn't they, to the mount. Yes, where Abraham takes Isaac, ready to offer him as a sacrifice unto the Lord. But the Lord appeared. Yes, and Abraham, Abraham, I am here. Slay not thy son, for thou now I knowest that thou fearest me. Dear children, the Apostle Paul tells us, I think it's in Corinthians, to covet earnestly the best gifts. And one of the best gifts that you and I can have is the fear of God. Because when at last that fear of God will bring your soul and mine into eternal glory and eternal bliss, where congregations ne'er break up and Sabbaths have no end. Yes, and as I've already said, the fear of the Lord will keep us from sinning, will prosper our way, and is the beginning of wisdom and grace. Again, why Nehemiah, he tells us this, and he says, and so did not I because of the fear of God. Well, you dear children, you have to go to school, and you have to mix with those at school, and they do things that perhaps you know full well is wrong to do. Well, just remember what Nehemiah said. So did not I, because of the fear of God. That fear of offending Almighty God. Oh, the Lord keep you and preserve you and bless you with this gracious fear in your heart and mine. And oh, that it may be kept in a constant gracious exercise before God. But hear the dear psalmist. Why, you see, it is as though he goes in this psalm from room to room. Yeah. From one room to another room. But at last he comes through into this room where it is the sunshine of righteousness shines forth and shines into his heart. And he comes out with this blessed, glorious statement. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Yes. The Lord's goodness indeed is good unto each. The Lord is good. Why, as our daily food that is given and granted to us each and every day. And whether you've ever thought about it, you know, I don't know, I've no idea what the population of this world is at the present time. But even here in the United Kingdom, I think we number something like 66 million people. And everyone, every day, has a meal. Oh, yes. You say, the Lord is faithful to his word, to his promise, that there shall be seed time and harvest, summer and winter, whilst the earth remaineth. And so it is. Blessed be his glorious name. But there are many things that we can say that the Lord is good to us in the path of providence. Yes. There are those of us here tonight that can speak of some of the Lord's goodness to us in the paths of providence. And I also believe this. There are some of us here tonight that can also speak of the Lord's goodness to us in the path of grace. That He's made His goodness pass before us in the way. Perhaps there's a one coming to this chapel tonight that says, but the Lord has never shown me any goodness. The Lord has, I've not had any mercy from the Lord. I understand your feelings, dear soul. But let me just say this. Isn't it that the Lord's mercy and His goodness that you are found in the house of God tonight, and that you're not where your sins and mine so richly deserve? It is His goodness. That He doesn't and hasn't cut us off as a cumberer to the ground, which reminds me the words you find here in Psalm 130, 130, why the dear psalmist, he was in a low place. He was in a very low place. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? It is old. Read on. What does it say? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be found, feared, that thou mayest be feared. Yes, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Yes, the Lord's goodness. Yes, dear soul, and His goodness, that in this, that He will, and He does, and He will answer the prayer of the destitute and not despise them. He looks down from the height of His heavenly sanctuary. From heaven does the Lord behold the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner and loose those that are appointed unto death. That's His goodness, is it not? It is. It is His goodness. Yes, His ear is open unto their cry. Your cry, dear soul, if you're one that's crying unto Him for mercy, for peace, for pardon, forgiveness. One that's saying, here on my heart, Lord, the burden lies, and past offences pain mine eyes. Oh, how great is Thy goodness. What is He said? Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. If there's a soul here that came into chapel tonight, like I've just described, that feels you, Lord's never shown you any mercy, any goodness, then dear soul, look up. Yes, and dear soul, let us repeat His word and take it home with you, dear soul. Yeah. Call upon me in the day of trouble, because for sure, poor soul, you're in a day of trouble. And dear soul, and he will hear. He will hear. Oh, maybe I spoke this last time I was here. I can't remember, but I got a feeling I did. But dear blind Bartimaeus.
Yes.
What was he? He was a beggar. A beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. But he cried out, didn't he? Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And whilst there were those that said to him and told him to be quiet, yes, poor soul, and perhaps the adversary of your soul tells you to be quiet. It's no point in you praying. You're too bad, wretched. The Lord's not going to have any mercy on you. The devil's a liar, dear soul. The devil's a liar. Always has been. He can't be any different. But dear soul, what did it do for blind Bartimaeus? Did he stop? No, he cried out the more a great deal. I can no denial take whilst I plead for Jesus' sake. And read these words. And Jesus stood still. Oh, I love it. Jesus stood still. What for? To attend a poor beggar's need. And say, my soul, why not for thee? He stood still to attend a poor beggar. And his soul, and this blessed Jesus. Why, Paul tells us in Hebrews that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he is. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Paul's epistle to the Romans in one of the early chapters, chapter 4, I believe it is. He says to us there that it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. What a mercy. Yes, that the Lord leads us to repentance. Dear David knew it, didn't he? Poor man. He had sinned. He had fallen. He had backslidden. Same as some of us. Oh, but the Lord had mercy and has had mercy. Oh, and has led us to repentance. Hear on my heart, Lord. The burden lies and past offences pain mine eyes. What does the Lord say? Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Dear soul, and there is nowhere else for a poor guilty sinner to look. But dear soul, look with that eye of faith. You know, blind Bartimaeus, whilst he couldn't see. But, you know, his faith was looking in the right way, the right direction, was it not? And when the Lord opened his eyes, the first thing, the first person that poor man saw was Christ. But the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Yeah. A repentance that needs not to be repented of. No, the heart can and does sometimes remain very, very hard. Yeah. It's unmoved by circumstances. But you say it needs a blessed Lord. You say, dear Peter, poor man. Yeah. He'd been warned. Yes. Satan hath desired to have thee, to may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith thou not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Yes, Peter, before the cock crow, twice thou shalt deny me thrice. Look, I'll go to prison, I'll go to death, I'll never deny thee. But poor Peter had to be taught a lesson. And some of us have had to be taught lessons as well, have we not? Of things that we didn't realise was in our heart. Yes, but you see, poor Peter, he denies, first a maid comes and another, or he denies he knows anything about the Lord. Doesn't know anything about him. But the cock crew the second time. The cock crew once before, but it didn't affect Peter, did it? Yes. You would have thought the alarm bells would have started ringing, wouldn't you? No. But when the cock crew the second time, and when the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, what did it do? It led him to repentance. He went out and he wept bitterly. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Oh, blessed be his name. Oh, that he gives and grants repentance. Sorrow. Godly sorrow for offending him. How great is thy goodness. That leads me to this thought as well. Why, it's all of the intercession of the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I've already mentioned a moment ago, he said to Peter, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Peter failed, but Peter's faith didn't fail because it was found in Christ Jesus. It was fixed on him. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Oh, yes, dear soul. But you say, I have prayed for thee. There's a beautiful word here in the book of the Lamentations of Jeremiah, where the dear man, poor man, he was in the depths, but he says this to us here in the third chapter. Verse 58, O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. A poor woman, guilty, taken in the sinful act of adultery. And the accusers have been sent away, yes, with the words of Christ. By the words of Christ, let without sin, let him cast the first stone. They all go out. Jesus left alone with a woman. And no man condemn thee, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. See, he stands by the right hand of the poor. See this, this glorious gospel is for the poor. Poor, poor sinners. Yes, and why his goodness, his intercession? Why, dear soul, as John 17, isn't, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for all them who thou hast given me. For they are thine and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. You know, this thought just comes to mind. Glorified in them, which thou hast laid up for them, which thou hast wrought for them. They're found in the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a mercy, dear soul, if you and I are found, numbered here in this verse, them, numbered with them may I be now and throughout eternity. But John 17:24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou gavest me before the foundation of the world. Father, I will that they also. Who are these? These are the ones that Jesus prays for. Yes, a blind Bartimaeus. Yes, but a poor woman that's a sinner. A poor man that's let down through the tiling. The parable, I know, but the poor man, a poor man or woman that may come into Maiden Chapel tonight. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, dear soul, this prayer is sincere in your heart. Dear soul, the Lord will in mercy hear and answer that blessed prayer. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. There's this then, having the fear of God, and the Lord's goodness. Yes, you know, his goodness finds us food. Yes, absolutely true. But oh, it's goodness. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he'd have saved my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. Snatched as a brand from the burning. What did Moses say? And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou serve the Lord or no. Yes, dear soul. And thou shalt remember all the way. Dear soul, do you remember? Can you remember, was there a particular time, a particular experience when the Lord, yes, put forth his hand very powerfully into your heart and called you by his grace and turned your feet away from the ways of sin and iniquity and turned them to God and to godliness? Oh, how great is thy goodness. He sought me when a stranger. But dear soul, in covenant love, yes, appeared, turned our feet, turned our heart, turned our attention to the things of God, so that we began to cry out as we've never ever done before. Oh, when the Lord arrested your poor, never-dying soul and mine, why, what was that cry? Why, that cry that we mentioned, I believe, in prayer. O gracious Lord, incline thine ear, and my request vouchsafe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry, and give me Christ, or else I die. All unholy and unclean, I am nothing else but sin. On thy mercy, I rely, give me Christ, or else I die. Yes, and you mean every word of it, don't you, dear soul? Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Yes, dear soul, and out of this goodness comes, dear soul, his love and mercy to your poor, never-dying soul and mine. Yes, when he speaks the words of peace and pardon to your poor dying soul. Yes, you think of, that dear man then that was let down through the tiling. Why, yes, he was sorely afflicted. But you know, the Lord knew what was in his heart. And the dear man was obviously felt his sin and his iniquity very much. And he was let down through the tiling to the feet of Christ. What did the Lord say? Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Huh? Didn't matter about the body, thy sins are forgiven thee. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. When maybe, dear soul, you feared. I don't know, is anybody here like this? You feared to go to bed. Because you fear that you'll pass away. The Lord will come and take you in the night. And you think you daren't go to sleep. Oh, how great is thy goodness. And you begin to sink. And down and down and down you go. But dear soul, what is it for? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms of love and of mercy. And dear soul, is that not his goodness? Yes, to fall into those blessed arms of the eternal Son of God. Yeah, for him to say, I love thee well, my child, thou art mine. When forgiveness flows into your heart. You know, I hope by God's grace, I've known and experienced it, but it's hard to adequately describe it and convey it into your heart and soul. I'm not able to, but when it comes, why your heart is filled with the love of Christ and love to Christ. Why me, O blessed God, why such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? Oh, how great is thy goodness. Well, we must try a little more in this text, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. You say, there is something laid up for God's dear people. Yes, there is, blessed be his name, an eternal home. This world is not my home. That's what the dear hymn writer says to us, doesn't he? And I think of that hymn here, of the dear hymn writer when he speaks about this. We've no abiding city here. This may distress the worldling's mind, but should not cast the saint a tear. Hope's a better rest to find. We've no abiding city here. And let us live as pilgrims do. Let not the world our rest appear, but let us haste from all below. We've no abiding city here. We seek a city out of sight. Zion's its name. The Lord is there. It shines with everlasting light. You see, the dear soul is now, he's changed course. He's now pressing forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. And the dear Lord has prepared. Which has laid up for them that fear thee. Which fear thee? He's laid up. You know, the dear disciples, they were very troubled when the dear Lord Jesus was about to be taken from them. Why is there in John 13, which I've already alluded to of the dear disciples and dear how dear Peter reacted. But then you see the opening verse of chapter 14. Yes, you see, this full of sorrow. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I will come again. This all, it is evident from the word of God that the Lord Jesus are with his disciples here. But this all, you and I, we're not living in the day when Christ was on this earth, are we? But oh, for faith, yes, to have and receive these words, that I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you. And receive you. Vile base, a poor dependent of his grace, receive you. There's Mary Magdalene, out of whom were cast seven evil spirits. There was a Manasseh, a king that caused Israel to sin, but the Lord humbled him. And why this all? And there's a poor man in the pulpit tonight that deserves hell. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself. Oh, amazing grace! How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. You know, here in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what thou hast what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. What he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. Yes, 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 it's true. Here we've no abiding city. You know, that's what it was for dear Abraham, was it not? Here in the 11th chapter of the Hebrews. Was it read to us? Why, he looked for a city which hath foundations, his builder and maker is God. Yes, and now, but now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. For he hath prepared for them a city. I think of the hymn. When this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing to him that died to save. Revelation 7, and what do we find? What do we read here? Who are these, and whence came they? Sir, thou knowest. He said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sit on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb, which in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of waters. And listen to this, dear soul. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. God will wipe away the tears. Our everlasting joy. Yes, and thou shalt see the King in his beauty, which hast wrought for them. Laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. But you see, there's a blessed work that's been going on. A work of salvation, a work of redemption. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save sinners. And dear soul, he doesn't, he hasn't, and he will not change his mind. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Yes, the Lord's goodness called sinners to repentance. But which thou hast wrought for them. Oh, the wondrous works of God. Immensely great, immensely small. Yet one strange work exceeds them all. That glorious work of salvation and redemption. But dear soul, redemption cost something. And it cost the beloved Son of God his own heart's blood. But what does he say? For this cause came I into the world. Our blessed Lord then, knowing the things that would happen unto him, he set his face as a flint to go toward Jerusalem. He did. Yes, he was to suffer. This is my beloved Son. Yes, the disciples on the mountain, when Jesus was transfigured before them, they heard his voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And they heard him. Peter, James and John heard him there in Gethsemane's garden. They did. Thrice forward and backward he goes, as though he sought some help from man. He began to be heavy. He fell on the ground. And he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood fall into the ground. He prayed. Prayed like this, didn't he? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Then, dear soul, he said this, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, I've been so thankful for that. That one word to me seems the greatest of all words in the whole of the scriptures of truth, the prayer there of Jesus, nevertheless. Psalmist says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And when Jesus, with his mouth in the dust, praying unto his Father as he did, sweating great drops of blood falling to the ground, I believe he saw is the whole church of God. And yes, and he loves his people, great and small, and grasping hard, embraces all, and nor the soul will part. He toils through life, pants through death, and cries with his expiring breath, 'tis finished and complete. But dear, there in Gethsemane's garden, he saw his church, his bride, whom he loved with an everlasting love. Oh, greater love hath no man than this, and a man laid down his life for his friends, and he was laying down his life for his friends, for his church, for all them that were given unto him in the covenant of eternity in days past. Oh, blessed be his glorious name. Oh, and so he's willing, willing to pay the ultimate price, the redemption of the souls and of his people with his own heart's blood. Just as the lamb in the Exodus of the children of Israel, the blood was sprinkled upon the doorposts and lintels of their dwelling places. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. For you are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as gold and silver from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. And so, our dear Lord, there, and remember this, here in Gethsemane's garden, as yet there no hand of the enemy had been taken upon him. There's no soldier, no high priest, no scribes, no Pharisees, no. But this, it was this, was it not? The vindictive wrath of God against sin. It was this that you read in Isaiah 53, he shall see the travail of his soul. Yes, some of you, dear ladies, have travailed and brought forth children into the world. Yes. Oh, you know what travail is, and Jesus knew what travail was. Oh, the travail of his soul, the agony, the anguish that he bore. You know, it's pointed out to me once by a good friend that the word agony only appears here in the Word of God. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. Yes, dear soul. But he loves his people. He loves his people. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He comes, he goes to the judgment hall. He then led to Calvary. There it is that he is crucified. Between the two malefactors, one of whom he saved by his grace, one whom he had mercy upon, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. The vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. But yes, amongst those seven cries, there was this cry, wasn't there? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe it simply like this, in my simple way. Why? Because God the Father could not look upon sin but with abhorrence, does not look upon sin with abhorrence. But with abhorrence. He looks on sin with abhorrence. And here was the holy, harmless Son of God. Yes, with the iniquity of us all was laid upon him. All the sin of every child of God was laid on him. And he's suffering in their place, Reuben's dead. And God the Father cannot look upon him because of the sin that he bare, that he bore. Oh, and did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretched nest and dust, that guilty worms might rise? Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed, and die. But then there was a calm. Not the lamentable cry, but the cry of triumph, the cry of victory. It is finished. What was finished? Salvation's work was done. Redemption's work was done. Yes, dear soul, look up. Jesus ready stands to save you. Your poor never dying soul and mine. Oh, and to praise and bless his name throughout a never ending eternity. I leave a few thoughts.
Let us now sing hymn number 982 to the tune Calvary 668. It is finished, sinners hear it, 'tis the dying victor's cry. It is finished, angels bear it, bear the joyful truth on high. It is finished, tell it through the earth and sky. Hymn number 982, we'll begin at verse 2.
Peace, love.
bless thine own word, that word thou hast promised and not return unto thee void. And thy name alone, shall have all the honour, glory, and all the praise. Take each home now in peace and safety, whether the journey is long or short. But Lord, do take us each to that eternal home in the heavens, to be with Jesus. And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, love of God, the sweet communion, Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.